we're back.
Woo. Here we go.
You are listening to the Sound and Faith Podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship, beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of our church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want that for anyone who listens.
Absolutely.
We aim this towards our church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, but we also recognize there might be others that listen. And we are back for season two of the Sound in Faith podcast.
Man, did you guys miss us? I think they missed us.
Did you have a good summer?
I did. How about you?
Yes.
You were all over the place.
I was all over the place. I was on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Was gone for 7 weeks, but was very active.
You went to Central Europe, Eastern Europe.
Yeah, it was Eastern Europe. Was at a conference down in Kentucky. Hmm. Spent some time with the family. I think I caught COVID in there somewhere.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that.
We don't have to talk about COVID.
You don't have it now. I don't have it now.
So our listeners are safe. There's no...
Right. You don't have to...
You're not going to get it.
You don't, you're fine if you're listening to this episode.
The furthest I went this summer was Western Nebraska. But I did go like four times.
How was that?
Yeah, awesome. My oldest got married, my oldest son. And yeah, some really good times out there with friends. And yeah, it was awesome.
Can I show my ignorance for just a second?
Sure.
Does Nebraska have any mountains at all?
No, they don't have mountains. They have a Pine Ridge area, which is, it has buttes and it's hilly and it's rugged and it's beautiful. It's high desert. It's about 4,000 feet in elevation.
Sure.
So it's they have some really nice land, but the Black Hills is the closest mountains to us.
Yeah.
And from them, where I was in Western Nebraska, it's like 40 minutes from the Southern Hills.
I got you.
Yeah. So you're close.
Well, I didn't think they did. I just wanted to be sure. I didn't know if there was like a topographical mountain somewhere.
Yeah, they probably have, they probably named some of their hills mounts, but pretty, they do have buttes and, you know, so and they have tumbleweeds and you feel like you're in the West.
Yeah. I grew up in Southeast Louisiana and there is an artificial hill.
Okay.
That is built in New Orleans called Monkey Hill, and it is a whopping 32 feet high.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, not to best that, but I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
And we have the highest point, I think, is Mount Dora, which is an overpass, a highway overpass.
Yeah. So there you go.
Mount Dora.
Hey, did you stay cool this summer?
It was a nice summer, yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice summer, but there were some hot times, you know, along the way. And for that reason, we have a sponsor of today's episode brought to you by John Calvin's Air Conditioning Service.
Oh, wow.
Summer may be winding down, but it's always a good time to get your air conditioner checked for efficiency. Our 5-point inspection process will give you the peace of mind you need. You got a totally depraved air compressor? Let our team help. We offer an unconditional satisfaction guarantee. And for a limited time, we're offering irresistible prices on our inspections that will ensure your air conditioner will persevere for many years to come. Don't wait. Call John Calvin's Air Conditioning Service today. John Calvin's Air Conditioning Service. Many are cold, but few are frozen.
Oh, I could not love that more. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, John Calvin Air Conditioners, for sponsoring our thing.
Yeah. If you got that.
The number's 1-800, what is it, 15, 17.
If you got that, kudos. If you didn't, just don't worry about it. We'll explain it later. Hey, we've got a fun episode today. We're going to kick things off. So last season, you know, each season, I think we're going to take kind of a little bit of a different vibe to the program. Yeah. Last year was a lot of questions. Every episode had a question for a title. This season, we're going to do things a little bit differently. I think we're going for kind of like the punny play on words type of thing. I don't know. We're going to figure it out.
Two dads in charge of a podcast.
Yeah,
you're going to get some of that.
It's going to be a little bit different, but today's episode is Settle Down Now.
Settle Down Now.
And it's about...
church hopping.
Yes.
And why church hopping is bad for your faith and bad for the church.
Amen. It is. It's a problem.
It is.
It is a problem.
It's huge in the West. It's huge in the West.
Well, we've got kind of a consumer-driven way of thinking about church, we go around and we select what we like best and what serves us best. And that can lead to this, well, this isn't working for me anymore. It's time to move on to something else.
Yeah. And for the minorest of reasons, that's not really a word, but the smallest of reasons, you know, and when I say the West, I meant like not the Western United States. I mean the church in the US, the church in Europe.
Not the Wild West.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we with the abundance of churches, because most cities are well-churched in the United States. And so we have this opportunity to do that. Like you said, we approach it kind of consumeristically. And if there's something that maybe strikes us a little bit better somewhere else, we're off. And commitment to church becomes very shallow and light and temporary. And so there's a lot of movement.
Our commitment becomes more like, you know, our commitment to our favorite coffee shop.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I want to go to Starbucks. I want to go to Caribou. I want to go.
After a while, you might get tired of the coffee at Caribou and you might switch to Starbucks.
You know, Scooters or something like that. So let's begin. You know, let's just define, what do we mean by church hopping?
Okay, I don't just mean switching churches or changing churches. Yeah. That we're gonna talk about like a good way to do that. You know, and there are times
because there are times it's necessary. Yeah.
We're talking about. I don't have a pithy definition for it, but I would say just a lighthearted approach to church attendance that ends up being. Like no loyalty to anywhere for very long, moving around a lot to different churches and not needing a lot of reason to do so.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
No, I agree with that definition. Good kudos using the word pithy today in the episode, getting us started off at a very high level of pith of education here today. Anyway, that is a common thing, and it's a common thing in our world today for some of the reasons we've already stated, but it's, you know, we're in a very consumeristic type of mindset.
We are.
We live in consumerism in so much of everything else that we deal with, and so it's natural that it just kind of flows over into the way we think of church.
And kind of the way that we talk about church. Like, we say things like, hey, what church do you go to? And it's, I go to that church over there, you know, and I'm not a part of that church, you know, like I know sometimes it's just part of our language. We're not really thinking that through, but like we don't say that's my church. You know, I go to that church. I'm a part of that church. That's my local expression of the body of Christ where I meet and gather and do life. You know, like that's the church I go to.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, which one do you frequent kind of thing?
Yeah. It's kind of like, this isn't a sponsor of the program, but you know,
because John Calvin is.
John Calvin is. John Calvin's air conditioning service. Yeah. So this is free. So like, you know, one of our favorite places in Sioux Falls is Gilberto's Mexican. And we love their tacos. We love their burritos. So I walk in.
Meaning your family.
Me and my family, And I like my wife too, especially. And I know you like it too. And lots of other people do. But, you know, you walk in and you see a menu. And the reason you go there is because, one, you like the menu and you like what they're serving.
Right.
And I've tried some other places in town. I don't like them as much. They're decent, you know, but hey, this is where I want to go. Now, if they suddenly change their menu or if there was something different, I might consider going somewhere else. But we think of church in that way. We walk in sometimes, and I would say we, I'm just saying this can be a tendency. Yeah. Not everyone does this, but we see a menu of what they have to offer. We like what they're serving, and we choose, this is where I'm going to go.
Yeah, for lunches.
Until we get a little, maybe, I'm getting tired of those tacos. Yep. You know, I'm getting tired of that, whatever they do right there. And that can be a tendency, that can be a temptation in our world today.
It can be. And just to clarify, for anyone wondering, like there's nothing passive aggressive about the way we're going about this.
No.
We don't have anybody in mind. We see this as a problem in the church at large.
Yeah.
Not necessarily at Faith Baptist per se. So we're not addressing something that we're seeing all the time at our church or whatever. So you don't have to feel like if you've recently moved to faith or if you've recently moved away from faith, this isn't what we're doing here. We don't do that.
We're not targeting you.
Yeah, no. We're not a passive aggressive group. So this is, in general, a desire from two pastors to deepen our sense of our ecclesiology, our understanding of the church.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, and it can be an encouragement too if you're listening if you've got maybe a friend or a family member that does church hop,
yeah,
to be an encouragement to them to maybe find a place to settle down.
To settle down.
And in their in their worship and in their gathering with the saints. And so we've kind of mentioned this, you know, some of the reasons people church hop, but let's dig a little bit deeper. I'll just throw one out there. Musical style.
Sure. Musical style, of course, preaching, you know.
Yeah.
You could hear on the internet a preacher down the road that sounds better than the one that you're listening to and think, oh, I want to go there. Friends is a big reason, I think. Probably one of the biggest reasons your friends go there and you want to, you know, join them, or they've invited you to go and so you want to go. Yeah, there's all kind of better children's ministries.
Yeah, or better youth ministries.
Better youth. Yeah, your kids graduate or age out of a certain program at your church, and you don't like the next stage, and so you look around. All those kind of reasons.
Yeah. And I think that can happen too, because you might visit a place and say, oh, that was a nice service today. Yeah. I'll go back for a little bit. And the church hopping pattern isn't so much a different place every Sunday, but the church hopping pattern tends to be someone going somewhere, being in a church for maybe even a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years. But no real long-term commitment.
Yeah. And then it gets kind of dull and you think, I'm ready for something new.
Yeah.
And you move on for whatever reason.
Or another reason, and this one strikes a more serious note, being confronted for your sin in a certain church and feeling like, man, I don't want people to know this. I don't want to be exposed or vulnerable. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere where people don't know me.
Yeah. That's all reasons why we see that happening a lot of time with church hopping. So is there ever a reason to leave a church?
Yes. And I think we have talked about this on the podcast before. Yeah. There are thoughtful reasons why. Certainly if there's like serious doctrinal issues at play and you can't with good conscience continue in your church because the doctrine has shifted or you have shifted because you believe something very differently and it's a distraction for you and you just can't, you know, there might be some cause there, like a serious doctrinal difference with your church. The church could take a turn. You know, churches do that. Churches can take a turn for maybe they've become more consumeristic and more, you know, they're lighter and, you know, those kind of things. And you could feel like, and I think you can approach that prayerfully, like, Lord, is this where you want me to continue? Is this where you want me to continue to support? And things like that. Churches do go through seasons where different priorities are put before them, and that sort of thing.
I want to draw a distinction just briefly between leaving a church and being sent by a church, because I think there is a distinction there. I think back to 6 years ago, there were 70-some people, I don't remember the exact number, but about 70 people that left Faith Baptist. You could say they left Faith Baptist.
Yeah.
But in reality, they were sent by Faith Baptist to go plant a new church on the west side of Sioux Falls.
Right.
That's different.
That's very different.
That's very, very different. Yeah. When someone goes out to say, like, we send a young guy to go maybe go to seminary, encourage him to go to seminary, get trained, he goes out and becomes a pastor. That's sending.
We've sent several to the mission field from here. We've sent some overseas to different places and— Yeah, very different. Very different from that.
There can also be practical reasons why someone leaves. I mean, you know, maybe someone's commuting a very long way and a new healthy church gets planted in their area and they're like, you know what? I would like to be a part of this. It's closer to our home. It's closer to our community. I think in those cases, though, you need to make sure you talk about that with the elders of your church, with the leaders of your church to say, here's why.
Yeah.
We're not mad. We're not upset. I can think back to our time. We lived in Portland, Oregon. We lived in the suburbs of Portland. You know, there was a family within our church that there was a church in downtown Portland that was doing ministry among the homeless. And that's primarily where that community was. It was a healthy church. They came to us and said, we just have a real passion for that. And the elders gave their blessing and that family went and it was done well. And we saw that as a way that, you know, God moved in their hearts and they went to go serve in that way. I think there's appropriate times for that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, just to maybe expand on that a little bit, and employment sometimes takes us away.
Yeah.
But what I want to expand on is I think you should always talk to your elders.
Yes.
I think every time you decide to leave, even if you believe, and I really think this is helpful, even if you really believe the church has gone wrong in their direction and you're leaving because of that, so it's bad leave or whatever, you know, you're leaving because you think this is not the direction you believe God would have the church to go. And
what if you never joined the church as a member, but you've been there for a couple years?
Well, let me keep going.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think even then you should go talk to your elders.
Yeah.
I think you should inform them. I don't think you should just fall off the map. I don't think that's healthy for you. I know it's not healthy for the church. You know, I think it's good to have that conversation, even if it's a hard conversation, an awkward conversation. But I think you should go see your pastor, set up an appointment and say, mm-hmm. Hey, brother, I love you, but I feel like God is leading me to a different place.
Okay.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful.
Now, where are we going? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, what if you're not even a member of a church? You know, if you've been there, though, for a while, should you, out of courtesy, Christian courtesy, go talk to the leadership of the church and let them know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you should have joined, but yeah.
I agree. Yeah. We've already done episodes on church membership.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, I think... Not just courtesy. Yeah, Christian courtesy probably ranks right up there, but it's just helpful. It's helpful for the church. It's helpful for the awkward moments in the grocery store later on. It's helpful for all of those things. If you just put your cards on the table as a Christian and say, you know, I'm, and you know, the other point of all of this is if you're going to a healthy church and you decide to leave for an unhealthy church, bringing that up with your elders is helpful because they might confront you with that, and that might help you. You might not know that other church has some serious heretical doctrine or some deep seated unhealth, and those elders would know that, and they would be able to confront you there or encourage you. Hey, you need to think this out better because we don't think you'll be hearing the gospel there. We don't think you'll be growing in Christ there. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it's good. Embrace the awkwardness.
Yes.
Just do it, you know? And we can get uncomfortable about those kind of things, but it's good practice to say, hey, let's be open, let's be honest here about maybe what we're dealing with, what we're thinking. For whatever the reason, just talk to your church leadership. Because otherwise, even if you're possibly leaving for a very good reason, maybe it's a change of work, change of employment, change of location. Yeah. Maybe that new church plant started next to your home and it's 5 minutes away as opposed to 35 minutes away. You can still leave your leadership of your church hanging to say, what happened to so-and-so?
Yeah, you know
where did he go?
You were in our elder meeting last Monday.
Yeah.
A family that is moving, God has moved them on to another city. And they wrote us a note and let us know. And, you know, we were able to pray together for them that they would land in a good place and land in a good church.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was super helpful. It was super, super good. So that's the way to
go. And it was so encouraging, too, because they were so encouraging about just their time at Faith and how it blessed them. And so, you know, you're missing on an opportunity for a blessing there, especially if you're leaving even for a good reason.
Good word.
Somewhere.
Good word.
Yeah, let's continue on. You want to take the next question here?
Sure. So, let's talk about why it's harmful. Why, you know, we're saying it's harmful, but why is it harmful for the Christian?
Why is it harmful?
So, I'd like to handle this question in two parts.
Like, go ahead.
Why is it harmful for the Christian? And then why is it harmful for the church? So, let's go Christian first.
Yeah, I think for the Christian, you never find a place where you are consistently using your gifts to serve and to be served. You are not opening yourself up to the biblical accountability that the Christian needs to grow in his or her faith. And so I think if you're hopping around constantly, and we kind of alluded to this before, but it's when you're maybe challenged on your sin or someone calls you out or you find someone trying to kind of bring you along in your life and maybe disciple you, encourage you, challenge you. When you're hopping around, those types of relationships can never truly take hold.
They never become mature relationships. Yeah, they always stay in their infancy.
Yeah, you know, you're always in the shallow end of the pool.
Right.
Yeah.
And consequently, your relationships with other Christians become quite shallow. Like you don't tend to view your deepest relationships on the earth with your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the people at your work that take that role up, or at CrossFit, or some other place, you know, but I think the way that God has designed it is the body of Christ together becomes the closest, you know, and that never happens because you're not there long enough. You're not letting people get to know you, and you're not trying to get to know them. And that just, you're robbing yourself. You're selling yourself short of the Christian experience.
The relationships that you build, your relationship with a local church should be such. I'm just saying this. This is Thomas. Your relationship with your local church should be such that if, in God's providence, you are led away from that church, work, you know, moving, whatever the case may be, that it hurts to leave.
Yeah.
That there are some tears shed, or there's a lump in the throat as you say goodbye to people because the roots have gone so deep at that church.
Right.
You know, that's how it should be.
It should be that way.
Yeah.
It should be that way. You know, I left a church last year and mm-hmm. came here. The Lord, I believe, moved in that. So, I've been here a year and I feel like I've been working really hard to get to know people, but you know, I'm just getting to the place where I know people, and it's been a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes a long time.
It takes
serious time around each other and around the Word and around, you know, in different contexts within life, you know.
In a similar vein, 5 years ago when we moved to Sioux Falls, we left a church that we've been part of for 7 years mm-hmm. in Oregon, and it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. Yeah. You know, you felt that pain of uprooting from one place to go, and it was a calling to come here and serve in this way. And in the same way, our relationships here now at Faith have been so deepened over the last 5 years that, and I hate to even say this hypothetically because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but if something were to happen and we had to go somewhere, it would be painful.
It would be painful.
It would be very painful to leave.
And that's the way it should be.
It should be. Yeah.
It shouldn't be like where you don't skip a beat, you know, you just go into the next restaurant.
And just to clarify, we have no plans. We're not.
This is actually a passive aggressive thing I'm doing to keep you from. No, I'm just kidding.
We have no plans. We're not going anywhere right now, by the grace of God. So we've determined why it's harmful. Why is it harmful to the church itself?
Yeah, and you alluded to this already, but you rob the church of your gifts.
Mm.
You know, your God has given you a set of gifts. Everybody, every Christian, everyone who has the Holy Spirit living in them through the work of Christ, you know, the gospel transforming us, pulling out that heart of stone, putting a heart of flesh there, and giving us spiritual gifts. Those are meant for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And if you don't engage the body of Christ in a serious way, which requires time and commitment and loyalty, well, you just rob them of those gifts. You never serve the way that you are meant to serve.
Yeah.
And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, whom God has put you among, never really get to enjoy and benefit from the fruit of that.
Those roots never get to really grow deep.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
So perhaps God has given you the gift of teaching, for example.
Yeah.
You church hop, you won't get a lot of opportunities to really, really use that gift, you know, because it takes time for a church to trust you to be able to teach, you know, and or any gift, hospitality, and just all the different ways that God's gifted us. We rob the church of those when we don't commit ourselves to a local church.
Yeah, and I can say from a pastoral standpoint that if you suddenly look out on a Sunday morning and you know the faces that you normally see aren't there anymore, I mean that can be a weighty thing on you, and that can be a discouraging thing.
Yeah,
and especially if there's no knowledge of why it happened, you know, did you begin to think? If I can just be honest here, did I offend them? Did I say something wrong? You know, there can be a myriad of reasons, and that can lead to, I know for many pastors out there, sleepless nights as to what happened.
And not just the pastors, like the
leaders and the people.
And the people, you that same hurt that you're supposed to feel, the church feels that when somebody leaves, and especially when they leave without a word, you know, without a, and I know, and listener, I know that you might be thinking, if you've left a church recently and gone to another one, you might have thought that you didn't say much because you didn't want to cause any harm or grief. And I can get that, and I could appreciate that sentiment, but I just think it's better to share, you know. Yeah. It's better to share, not in a divisive way. When you leave a church, you want to leave well. When you leave a church, you don't want to cause unnecessary division. You don't want to do any of those things. You want to leave graciously. You want to leave the aroma of Christ.
Yes.
As you go, you know, but share.
Yeah. And that's an important qualifier to make right there. As we've already mentioned, go talk to the leadership of the church. Don't send a mass email out to everybody in the church. They, you know, those types of things can become divisive amongst the body of Christ. Whereas what you want to do is what you said, leave with the aroma of Christ in your departing. What if you're struggling right now? Maybe someone's listening. We have people that, we have our faith listeners. And so again, we're not thinking about anyone in specific, but you know, for anyone who might be listening, what if you're struggling with an aspect of your church right now? What if you're struggling to love your church?
Yeah. I think there's a, you know, we talk about triage a lot, and I think it's important to try to think sensibly and circumspect about that issue that you have and how big it actually is, because a lot of times it's not very big, just in my experience, you know, walking with this with people. I mean, we pray, we ask God, give me an affection for the people of God. Help me to love the people of God. Sometimes the people of God, like Christians, they still sin and there's still issues, and you know, we sin against one another, and it can be hard to love one another, right? So we pray, Lord, through your Spirit, help me to love. Help me to love the way that you've created me to love, the way that you love me. Help me to love others. Help me to love this church. Help me to think circumspectly about this. Help me to talk. Help me not to sin against the, you know, help me to not gossip. Help me to talk to the leadership and get help in where I'm at with this. And I think it'll become clear whether it's a significant issue or not over that time.
Yeah.
But my encouragement is to commit. And here's the thing. That little illustration for you. A merry-go-round at school. I think they're called merry-go-rounds. Those things you used to spin. I think they're all banned now, right? Because
they're so dangerous.
So dangerous. Yes. Yeah. But merry-go-rounds, when I was a kid, we had merry-go-rounds and we'd spin them super fast. If you were standing in the middle, you had no problem staying on it.
Right.
The closer you got to the edge, the harder it was to stay on.
That's a great metaphor.
Yeah. I mean, in the church, in the church, not right on the periphery, not right on the edge where a little bit of centrifugal force pushes you right off.
Yeah.
Be right in the middle of church life to where it seems almost unthinkable that you'd leave. And something very drastic would have to happen for you to lose loyalty and go.
That's a great metaphor. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that.
It's all yours.
Yeah. It's a wonder any of us Gen Xers survived childhood with all the playground toys we had. But that's so true. When you're on the edges, when you're on the fringes of a church, and you're not really plugged into the church life, serving, being served, faithful in attendance of our gathered worship, you know, using the gifts that you have to serve the body. You can get flung off very easily.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much. And really, we set out to do this podcast because we want to deepen people's appreciation and understanding of the church, right? I mean, it's not just to keep people from church hopping. It's to help us to see what the church is and why it's so vital and why it needs our commitment.
Yeah.
You know, our being there.
So let's offer some encouragements then now.
Yeah, sure.
Some practical encouragements to the church and church leaders as we deal with significant church hopping out there. We've already kind of alluded to this. We've told people, get involved, get plugged in. What are some more bits of advice that we can give along these lines?
Yes, so for a church leader, you know, I was talking to a church leader just yesterday who was struggling with this, where people had left and not really talked to him and things like that. My advice and encouragement is to keep your eyes on Jesus, you know, keep your eyes on Christ and stay faithful, faithful. It's easy to get to where you start thinking about yourself too much. Like, was it me that, you know, all of that? Just stay faithful, love the church, love the people who are there in front of you. Don't lament, you know, lament that the people are gone, that they've left, that they have a light view of church. Then wash your face and go after it.
Yeah.
You know, and love the church and serve them and all of that.
Yeah. I think just to kind of summarize a lot of what we said, and let's give this advice to maybe people out there that might be tempted to church hop or have maybe done that in the past or considering what's going on in their church right now. First of all, triage. We've talked about that a lot on this on this podcast. Think through how big of an issue is this. If this is a gospel issue, if the gospel is being abandoned, of course, you know, that's something that you've got to deal with.
Or biblical preaching.
Biblical preaching. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you just want to triage that. How big of an issue is this? Is this a biblical issue that needs to be addressed?
And there's, you know, with that, I'll let you keep going through this.
Yeah, yeah,
I love what you're saying. With that, there are disagreements that you can hold. I call them warm-hearted disagreements.
Yeah.
You can hold even important, unimportant matters. I don't think any truth is unimportant, you know, but you can hold disagreements in a warm-hearted way that don't have to create divisions for you in the church. You know,
that's correct.
You can disagree and say, no, this is not where I'm at, but it's not so significant because you've done the Christian maturity thing of triaging it, and you've decided, no, this is not so important that I have to divide.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to hold this warm-hearted disagreement while I serve these brothers and sisters in Christ and witness to the world.
And there's secondary and tertiary doctrines that applies to.
Exactly. Right
there. I mean, if you find out that your pastor or your elder doesn't hold the same exact eschatological view that
end
you
times,
do,
end times
view, you know, how big of an issue is that?
Right.
Is that a watershed moment for you that you're like, I've got to go to the wall over this right there? So triage that, pray.
Yeah.
Be plugged in, be involved, be faithful in worship, be involved in some area of ministry in the life of the church so that you're not on the fringes.
Yes.
And then if the issue is still persisting, go talk to the church leadership.
Yes.
And always talk. I would say talk to the church leadership, even if you're in a church that is you feel is going off the rails theologically. I mean, still, if you're dealing with a major gospel issue, still go talk to your church leadership. Do that graciously. Do that in love. Be the aroma of Christ. Do that in a way that just adorns the gospel.
I mean, it could be the Lord would use that, right, to help them see things.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord does use those kind of things.
Yeah, talk to your church leadership and leave graciously regardless of what the issue has been.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
And all of that.
And one positive encouragement, join a local church.
Yes.
Get involved. Get right in the middle. Love the local church. Do life with that local church. And make it so that it will hurt if you have to go somewhere else.
I'm going to throw you a softball question. Should they become a member?
Yes. I think so. I think you should formalize your agreement with your involvement in a church.
I need to get a sound effect here for softball questions when I throw you easy ones right there, when I lob you those right there. Well, thanks, Pastor Mike, for this episode today.
It's good. Hey, good to talk about this.
We've got one question.
Oh.
I've got some new Q&A music for this season.
Did you make it?
No, I didn't. I didn't have time. I didn't have time to make anything. This is kind of weird and funky here.
All right, so the question is from, I don't think it's anonymous, right?
No, it's from Anna.
So it's from Anna, and she has asked, can you lose your salvation? And if not, what reward is being referred to in Matthew 10:42? So let me read 10:42 to get that there, and then we'll answer the question. It says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, his rewards. And one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Mm. So can we, what rewards are in view here? And we both agree.
Yeah.
You can't lose your
salvation. You cannot lose your salvation.
A true born again believer cannot become unborn. He's always in Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. God will persevere him till the end, believing and holding on and trusting Christ. Right? I mean, that's what we hold to, the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. So what rewards are in view here? And there's probably some other really good examples, like in 1 Corinthians, about rewards.
Are you asking me? Oh, I thought you were going to take it.
I can. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead on this one. Because I thought you were rolling with it here.
Oh, sorry.
So I was just like, I was dialed in.
Ask
I was
and
just
answering.
Listening to us.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think there are rewards as a Christian that you will receive at the end time, you know, when you stand before the Lord. Perhaps you'll cast those crowns down before the Lord, but you'll receive rewards for things that you did, and your true motives and all of that will be on display, and the works that Christ did through you. So at the end of the day, all the rewards that come to us are because of the work of God in us, transforming us, moving us, and you know, sin prevents those rewards and those kind of things. But we that doesn't take away. We can hold these two things in tension. That doesn't take away from the fact that. Once you're in Christ, you're in Christ forever. And the ultimate reward is God. You get God at the end of the day through Christ. You have a relationship with him that endures forever.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. We cannot lose our salvation. Those for whom Christ died can never be lost.
Right.
He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so we have that assurance. But what you're talking about is that there are other rewards that come with obedience and faithfulness in life that we will receive, and we will receive that crown, and we will cast it before God himself, before the Lamb, because all that we have comes from him ultimately. And so I don't think...
We should start a band, Casting Crowns.
Casting Crowns. I think that's already been taken. We might face some copyright issues.
Great question, Hannah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep them coming. We have a lot from you. Thank you. They're awesome questions.
Yeah, well, you can send your questions to, you can go to, I forgot.
Go to our website. Oh, I think there's
faith,
a form.
faithsf.com/soundinfaith. And you can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on YouTube. We have videos of this podcast. The goal is almost every Friday to put one of these out. Yeah. Sometimes we take breaks for holidays and things like that.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvahs and other things that go on like that. Send those questions in. Check us out. Subscribe, share, all of that. We love it. You've been listening to the Sound in Faith podcast. Pastor Thomas here.
And Mike. Pastor Mike.
Lord willing, we will see you Sunday.